Hello, respective viewers. I'm George from Ireland. Here I am on Rodney Street, Liverpool. And this is where Lytton Strachey kept academical residences when he was at the University of Liverpool, around about 1900. The University of Liverpool, you can't see it, but the main campus is that away, about a mile. It was much, much smaller. Remember, when he went to university, under 2% of British adults went to university. Bit higher among the boys than the girls, of course. So Strachey is best known for being a writer, for writing this hilarious book, Eminent Victorians, which is really a series of elegant character assassinations of highly regarded people from Queen Victoria's time. And it gently or subtly pokes fun at them, just demolishes their undeserved reputations for propriety and morality, all the rest of it. So Lytton Strachey was the son of a general, and he's born in Clapham Common in London. His father served in India and elsewhere. His father was friends with Lord Lytton, the Viceroy of India, which is why he was given that Christian name. Don't know of anybody else named Lytton. So Strachey's mother was a Grant of Scots stock, very distant Norman ancestry, because the surname was Le Grand in the 11th century, and then it was Caledonicized to Grant. So Lytton Strachey, who was one of 13 children, but three of his siblings died young. So he went to a minor public school in Derbyshire, I believe, but he was rather a weakling, rather effeminate, and he got a very hard time for the other boys, was not into team sports and things like that, was very much of a bookish disposition. So he came to university here at age 17. He was thought to be too young to go to Oxford or Cambridge. He wanted to go to Christ Church, Oxford, or Balliol. They wouldn't have him. He went to Trinity College, Cambridge, the grandest one at that university, where he was reading history. And he graduated with a first, if I got that right, and he was part of the Apostles, which is this shadowy club at Trinity College, Cambridge, going to the early 19th century, and Lord Tennyson and others were in it. Well, the Cambridge Five, most of them were in it. 12 apostles at any one time, 12 undergraduates, those in statu pupillari, those who graduated known as angels, and they can come back and they can take part in this. So it's not exactly a secret society, but it has no publications, put it that way. Someone's in the Apostles, he or she will have to tell you he or she is in it, but they don't go publicising what they do. And they would encourage people to express themselves completely candidly. In your first meeting, they might say, what is your most contentious opinion? And any opinion, no matter how controversial, will be listened to in silence and with respect before being politely debated. And so they debated things in the 19th century we'd now find unremarkable, that racial equality, gender equality, the decriminalisation of homosexuality and things like that. But some of these were regarded as scandalous at the time. And it, obviously it's still going, it's invitation only. So he was someone of tremendous academic prowess and someone with a very mirthful, playful, rebellious character. So upon going down, he applied for various civil servants positions, didn't get any of them. He was very gifted in verse. Obviously, he was conversant in ancient Greek, Latin, French. So he made his money through writing, but the family had plenty of money. So he only lived in Liverpool for about a year. But, I mean, he was in London almost the whole of the rest of his life, in Belsize Park and other places. Eminent Victorians, landmarks in French literature, and then a humorous and rather irreverent biography of Queen Victoria. I remember I read it in 2019. So he was gifted with an extraordinary facility for expression, and he's got these sparkling turns of phrase. So I warmly recommend Lytton Strachey's oeuvre to you. Part of the Bloomsbury set, that informal intellectual circle around Bloomsbury Square in London from roughly 1900 to 1950. And they were heterosocial, so men and women mingling, even not as couples. And they were completely accepting of homosexuality. They were radicali of all stripes. And he had a romance with the economist John Maynard Keynes, who lived close to him. Keynes was, of course, bisexual, was married to a Russian ballerina, had no children at the time. Keynes's previous boyfriend was Harold Macmillan's brother when he was at Eton. So that's Lytton Strachey. He died in 1932 in Wiltshire, curiously enough. He'd avoided military service in the First World War by pleading to be a conscientious objector. And they were very unsympathetic. It was a sort of, if it was a political objection, if it was a religious one, they might say, OK, name me all books of the Bible in order. And if not, well, you're in the army, you're clearly a fraud. But one army officer thought he had him skewered, said, what would you do if a German Uhlan was trying to rape your sister? And Lytton Strachey said, I would attempt to interpose myself. So he was very high camp and effeminate, even though he had a long beard all his life, when that was deeply unfashionable at the time. There's one very brief video of him in existence, and there are no recordings of his voice. I'm not sure if he was cremated or a feeling that he was. That is Lytton Strachey here on Rodney Street. Ironically enough, one of the objects of his satire lived here, was indeed born here, was William Ewart Gladstone, whose father, John Gladstone's, was an S on the end to begin with, had made his fortune trading with the Antilles, owning plantations there, particularly in the Bahamas, and the people who worked there were not free, owning human beings. The biggest single recipient of compensation when slavery was abolished in 1833. So Lytton Strachey took down his reputation, punctured his pomposity, and showed what a prig he was. Right, thanks very much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodle pip.